the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to Beyond the Page. I'm your host, as always, Phil Brown. I'm delighted to talk here some Serie A and absolutely delighted to have on the show David Amiel. I haven't had David on quite as much as I would have liked. He's busy with his own fantastic podcast, which I'll ask him about before we talk about Serie A. But first of all, let me welcome you to the show, Dave. How are you, mate?
I'm doing great, and it's always such a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Great to catch up, and I appreciate you covering Serie A on your great show.
Yes, I don't get to do it as people do it better than me, but it's something that we like to talk about down here. Such a fantastic league. Dave, how's your podcast going? Tell me a wee bit about it.
Sure. So we started our podcast, Calcioland, with my producer, Alex Goldberg, since last May. We were very busy in the summer with transfers. Now we're focused more on Serie A, and it's been a blast. You know, the thing that I enjoy the most is we've had a lot of listeners that were listening to us to get transfer news on the Premier League. We were able to convert quite a few to start watching Serie A, and that's been an absolute pleasure. And I appreciate everyone's support with the podcast. It's been a blast.
Anyone who's not watching Serie A, I strongly encourage, especially after you get done with the Premier League. BeIN Sports put a lot of the Serie A on after the Premier League. Take the time to watch it, because it is, you know, when you look at the progress that Serie A has made after Calciopoli, where it really hit its low, to where it's at now, it is one of the most exciting leagues in the world. It's got top players there. Napoli, you get spoiled watching Napoli. I watched the Juve Atalanta game this weekend, which was a cracking game. I watched the Milan game. So many fantastic games. It's great entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the stereotype of Serie A being a boring defensive league has certainly not been in reality. It's far from it. You know, it's one of the most high-scoring leagues in Europe. Last season, we had six players that scored over 20 goals each. And to me, it's a great sign that Serie A is on the way back, that all six of those players stayed in Italy. In years past, we would have seen at least half of them leave for big offers abroad. So, you know, not only is it changing the style, I think it's definitely much more enjoyable to watch. And I've always enjoyed the tactical chess matches between coaches. You still see that. But now there's a lot of scoring, and the league now is able more to retain talent. So it's definitely on its way up.
Yeah, there's also money coming into some of those big clubs as well. First, I want to talk to you a little bit about a controversial thing that's come into Serie A as well as come into Bundesliga this year, and that's VAR. So I've been watching it, and it is quite interesting. I watched the Juve Atalanta game this weekend, where of course Petagna gave away the penalty from the free kick, goes to VAR, and I still wasn't sure if it was a penalty or not. It hit him on the top of the shoulder, and even after watching it on the replays, could have went either way. What's your take on VAR? Is it improving the game in Italy?
So I have a take on this. You know, a lot of people expected VAR to kind of end a lot of the controversy and the conspiracy theories with referees in Italy. And to me, in a lot of ways, it's only made it worse. But, you know, overall, I think there's a lot of benefits to VAR. There's been some controversial calls. I think the one you mentioned with Atalanta, to me, it didn't look like a penalty in the moment. It looked less like a penalty after the replay. They still gave it. You know, you got to keep in mind, you're still dealing with the human facet. Yeah. It's still the referee deciding. And, you know, I follow a lot of people in Italy on Twitter. And instead of arguing on the conspiracy theories with referees, now they're arguing over VAR. So it'll never end. I think, you know, once they iron out a little bit more what is up for review and try to make it a little bit faster, I think it will help. I think, though, controversy and drama is always going to be part of Italian football, and I think people need to embrace it because it's never going to be resolved. But I think in due time, VAR is going to make Serie A better, and I think in a lot of ways it already has.
Yeah, it's funny because you're right. You thought when VAR comes in, it's going to end a lot of the debate about was it a penalty, was it not. But in some ways, it's started a new debate about what we're actually seeing in the video and whether Dybala went on to miss the penalty. But it's just really, really interesting. I want to talk to you about, of course, Milan, who have spent 200 million Montella getting a lot of a stick this weekend. Sadly for him, Carlo Ancelotti is now available. I don't know if Ancelotti is someone that Milan must be looking at and thinking, this makes perfect sense. Obviously, they've had huge turnover with coaches. I was listening to Christian Vieri talk about Milan, saying they've been awful every time he's watched them. I haven't watched them every week, but they were poor this weekend again. And Montella must be getting concerned, David, for his job. And is Ancelotti an option?
So, you know, let's start with Montella. You know, I've never been a huge fan of his as a manager, but in his defense, when you have 11 new players and you're incorporating 7 or 8 of them in the starting lineup, I think any manager is going to need time to incorporate that. I think, in, you know, to Milan's credit, they've backed him up. He wasn't a manager that their new directors and their new ownership had hired, but they tried, they're doing their best to set him up to succeed. I know a lot of Milan fans, the minute Ancelotti was sacked at Bayern, thought it was almost automatic that he'd go back. I was a little bit more ambivalent. Ancelotti had been offered a return to Milan when he was sacked at Real Madrid, and this is when Berlusconi and Galliani were there, and he had a close relationship to them, and he passed. So, you know, you could say maybe now he wants to come back because the project is better, but he has no connections to the new owners. I think, too, there's a lot of uncertainty taking over a team, you know, midseason for anyone, especially with all these new players. And maybe Ancelotti doesn't want to hurt his legacy at Milan. He said he's going to take the rest of the year off. I'm going to take him at his word. If I was Ancelotti, I'd get the Bayern money, keep it for the rest of the year, and then see what happens in the summer. It's possible, too, the Italy job becomes available to him. Say Italy doesn't go to World Cup or does poorly in the World Cup, I think that would make a lot of sense. To me, that almost makes more sense than Milan. He could also be attractive to Premier League teams. So my guess and my hunch is Ancelotti is going to take the rest of the year off and see what happens. Montella has the derby against Inter after the international break. A poor performance there might cost them. But I could see Milan going for a manager, someone like Mazzarri, who was at Inter, and Paulo Sousa, who was at Fiorentina. They might make an attempt for Ancelotti, but I'm sold that he would take the job now.
We'll see what happens there. It's going to be an interesting situation. Napoli, of course, they have 7 consecutive wins. They've been just fantastic to watch. Sarri's done such a brilliant job. They're a team that really operates on a fraction of the budget of course, a lot of the bigger clubs operate on. I don't know if they can keep this up, but they're fun to watch right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a more entertaining team like anywhere in Europe. You know, I don't follow other leagues as much as Serie A, but this is really reminds me of the great Milan teams from the late 80s, early 90s. They're Sarri, you know, is a great manager, as you mentioned. He kind of models himself a little bit after Arrigo Sacchi. And, you know, interestingly, Arrigo Sacchi had suggested to Berlusconi to hire. They went with Mihailovic instead. You got to wonder what would have happened had they gone that way. I think, you know, Napoli's going all in for the Scudetto. I think they were able to retain all their players. They didn't really focus on the transfer market, on adding anyone. They just decided to keep what they have. I think everyone's kind of made a pact to go all in to win the title this year. Maybe when they saw Juve losing Bonucci too, they saw an opening. So, you know, I'm still going to say Juve is the favorite, but I think this is the best challenger they've had since Ibrahimovic was at Milan. I think Napoli is going to give them really a run for their money. It's going to be really, really an exciting season with those two teams.
I want to ask you about Roma, because they've just announced a €42 million losses. They've they lost €14 million the previous year. They have reduced the cost and personnel down €10 million. Does that suggest that we could see some player sales on the horizon with Roma?
Well, you know, I think that when they hired Monchi to come, I think that was really, they were very transparent about what the plan is. You know, they sold Salah, who was arguably their best player, with Nainggolan. I think he's been really, really good at Liverpool. They didn't exactly replace him. They got this very good prospect, Patrick Schick, who was at Sampdoria, but there's health concerns with him. I think they have, you know, a good amount of talent. They have a very intriguing midfield. But I think the reality for Roma, until they have their new stadium, until they can really get their financial books in order, you're going to see them every summer lose 1 to 2 key players. Last summer it was Rudiger and Salah, and I think they have at least one more year that way. I think for them, getting a new stadium is always going to be a challenge. But, you know, with Monchi there, at least, though, they have a business model where he's going to be able to find good young players to replace what leaves.
Lots of young players get saddled with the tag of the new Messi. And we all love to see a young phenom come through the ranks. We all love to get excited about young players that potentially offer enormous promise. Pietro Pellegrini is a young boy who's lighting fans up in Italy, of course. He scored for Genoa. He is a youngster that 16 years of age, has been called the new Messi. How good is Pietro Pellegrini?
Well, he's a very intriguing player. I think he was the youngest player first to score a goal, and then he was the youngest player to score a brace in Serie A. You know, it was a great moment. His dad was actually on the bench at Genoa crying when it happened. A beautiful moment. You know, Pellegrini's been linked to all the top teams in Italy since last season. Inter was about to sign him. Then they had some issues with their finances from their Chinese owners. Then he's been linked to Milan, who kind of has somewhat of an option on him, although Genoa's ownership might be changing. And now there's a lot of clubs abroad after him. I think he's a really, really intriguing player. I think Genoa isn't a very good team, so he's going to get a lot of opportunities this season. He's just one of many great young players in Serie A, but at the age of 16, you know, what he's already accomplished is certainly very impressive.
You've got your boy sitting in second, Dave Juventus. Other than the draw at the weekend, you've perfect start, of course, 6 wins, 1 draw. You must be delighted with what you're seeing so far this season with Juventus.
Well, I think, you know, for Juve, what's going to be very interesting to me is how they settle the defense. You know, I wrote about the Bonucci deal this week, and I think at this point there's really no winners in this. Juve has given up the most amount of goals to start the season since the early 90s. They really didn't try to replace Bonucci completely. They tried to go with what they had on the squad. Barzagli and Chiellini, you know, on paper, are very good players, but Barzagli's pushing 36. Chiellini gets injured quite a bit. Benatia hasn't been the great defender that he was at Roma or Udinese. Their young prospect, Rugani, every time they play in the Champions League or a tough away match, Allegri doesn't trust them to start. So to me, what's interesting about Juve is they went a shift from going with the defense being their primary strength to really focusing on the attack. Like I mentioned, they didn't really replace Bonucci. They went for Douglas Costa and Bernardeschi. They were able to retain Dybala. So they have a very intriguing attack. I think they looked that all the teams that have won the Champions League in recent years really did it by outscoring the opponents. So it's going to be interesting to see if that is going to pay off. Higuain had a little bit of a struggle. Yeah. He's back though scoring. So it's going to be interesting to see if this change in approach pays off. But, you know, at this point, I have to tell you, I'm kind of rooting for Napoli to win it. And the reason I say that is I think if they do, we can really retire the boring defensive stereotype of Serie A, because they're going to end Juve's dominance, and they're going to do it by playing really offensive football. So as a fan of the league, I have to tell you that I'd be really, really intrigued with Napoli winning. And then, you know what, if Juve finally wins the Champions League, then that would be ideal.
Anybody that still thinks Serie A bears any resemblance to the defensive league that we saw in the early 90s, 80s, just isn't watching the football.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's just not that at all. And it's fantastic to watch. Dybala, Dave, is a young guy who, according to Barcelona, were offered him in the summer for €140 million. Still plenty of speculation linking Dybala with other clubs. Could he be the next player that's sold by Juventus, or do you see him staying there for a long time?
Well, you know, it's a very intriguing situation, because we know Juve, every time a big-name player leaves, and we've seen in recent years Vidal, we've seen Pogba, we've seen Bonucci, we've seen Dani Alves, who wasn't at the club for very long, their justification is always, look, you know, if the player wants to leave, we're not going to get in the way. We'll just focus on replacing him. This has been Juve's policy dating back to a long time. I mean, this is a club that sold Roberto Baggio after he won, the Ballon d'Or, and then right after they won the Champions League. So they're not afraid to let people leave. You know, it's interesting that, you know, Dybala always says it's up to Juve, and then Juve says it's up to Dybala if he wants to stay or go. He recently signed that big extension. They gave him the number 10 jersey, but guess what? That's exactly what happened with Paul Pogba, too. So I think, you know, what I always tell Juve fans or anyone, it's like, listen, you know, just enjoy him right now. You know, what's going to happen in the summer? So much can change. You know, had you told me this time last year that Neymar was going to leave Barcelona, I would have told you Dybala was going to go and replace him, and then it didn't happen. So it's hard to say. I think, though, until Juve changes ownership, I don't see them changing their stance of being, if you will, being at the mercy of the player's will. I think, too, in a way that they signed Bernardeschi, you know, who could eventually replace Dybala, might be a sign that they're trying to, you know, prepare for that. But I think, you know, Juve needs to enjoy him now and then see what happens in the summer.
How good is he?
I think he's terrific. I think this season, you know, a lot of people, I thought, you know, for the race to win the highest goal scorer in Serie A, I thought it was going to be between Icardi and Higuain, and Dybala's just been absolutely sensational. I think, you know, just like with Juve, we need to see it more consistently in Europe. I thought Dybala's best match in the Champions League was when they beat Barcelona 3-0 in Turin. After that, there wasn't so much. I put in Cardiff, he was really dreadful. So he needs to step it up there. I think the talent is really incredible. I remember watching him the first few times at Palermo, and then I went to Juve Stadium, watched him in person, and you can just see it. He's got the it factor. He's got, you know, he's mature for his age. I think, though, just like Juve, we need to see him consistently do it in the Champions League for us to start talking about him, you know, on the level of, say, Neymar.
Speaking of Icardi, another team that's had a fantastic start, Inter Milan. This finally looks like an Inter Milan. Spalletti's Inter Milan. They're linked with Mesut Ozil in the summer, January, of course.
Yeah.
Paris has had a great start. Icardi's had a great start. This looks finally like an Inter with a backbone, Dave.
Yeah, I think, you know, the hiring of Spalletti may have been probably the best individual move in all of Serie A in the summer. Like, Inter's always had a lot of talent, and they've never been able to make the most of it. I think he's really the manager that's going to be able to do that. We saw him develop numerous players at Roma. There are signs that he's already doing it at Inter. You know, I was expecting them to make a sexy signing, someone like Sanchez or Vidal or even Jaime Rodriguez. And instead, they ended up keeping Perisic. And, you know, in a way, he might end up being the top player just by staying. He's been, him and Icardi together are really a great duo. Yeah. So I think Inter, too, what's really helps them is they don't have to worry about Europe at all. In a way, it reminds me a little bit the first season that Conte was at Juve. He was, you know, transformative coach for them. They weren't in Europe and they won the title. And, you know, Inter is, you know, everyone's talking about Juve and Napoli, but as you mentioned, they won 6 out of 7 games. Granted, some instances it wasn't the prettiest thing to see, but you know, they have a solid team. They got the center back Skriniar from Sampdoria. He's been sensational. They have a great goalkeeper in Handanovic. So an intriguing team. I definitely think they could be the spoilers the rest of the way.
We will see what happens, Dave. As always, mate, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on to talk Serie A with me. It's always great to talk about this fantastic league. I haven't got to cover it as much as I would like in recent times because of the departure of my co-host, but hopefully we can get back in this on a regular basis. Keep up the brilliant work with your podcast, Dave. It's always great. And I thank you for satisfying so many of your fellow fans, me included, over the summer months and the preceding months after that. We don't know what we'd do without you. So thanks very much, pal.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Phil, and I love what you're doing with the show. So keep up the great work, and you can have me on anytime, brother.
Thanks, Dave. Same to you, mate.
All right. Love you, brother. Thanks again for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
ciao.
Bro. Bye.